Good morning, Patriots. And it is a Friday. Somehow this week went like 1 hour slower than last week. Not sure why. But we are here at Friday once again. And in so doing, we are going to celebrate the fact that we're still being run by a hand puppet. Jim Hansen's still running the government. And we still have a slut for a vice president. Man, that's just awesome news. This makes you get up and makes your feet tingle. Makes you want to like, oh, wow, that's great. And where is this? This is what we call United States of America 2021. In the midst of what is probably the most unbelievable war ever imagined in by anybody, where corporate entities have designed, engineered the bioweapon, deployed the bioweapon, and in so doing have created the media apparatus and control it to avoid the conversation about the bioweapon, control the testing facilities so that the bioweapon is said not to be a bioweapon, control the hospitals so that the people in the hospitals administer the bioweapon, and they do so with a smile, by the way, and then adamantly suppress and deny anybody that speaks the truth to talk about the bioweapon so that the Republic continues to walk off the cliff knowing that we're going to lose about 30 to 60% of the population in the United States and there's no stopping it. That's our Friday morning. So, let's start first with this. It's kind of a heavy load. Sometimes it makes you want to go back to bed, which is why we have places like MyPillow to get our pillow. But in all seriousness, reminder, 2026 to 29th of August is Bards Fest. It's going to be an intense event on many levels. Spiritually, truthful-wise, you're going to have a great deal of fun. It is built for the family, but it is also built to strengthen our foundations in God and to get us on the path of truth. There is no greater weapon in this fight than truth. Part of that, on the 27th, Mike Lindell will be speaking, feature guest. It's going to be a fantastic day. That's going to be a powerful day at the event. All days will be powerful at the event. But that particular day is this, what we call the Slipper Revolution, if you haven't heard. And we're going to celebrate our success as patriots and our love for Mike Lindell as a great CEO and example of God and love for country. So we're encouraging everybody to get over and get a pair of my slippers at mypillow.com, and you can use this great Bards code, B-A-R-D-S promo code, to get some discounts on those, about 40% off on slippers. While you're there, you can use that same code for anything on that site, which includes 66% off on pillows. It's great. It's awesome. Great company. Man who puts Christ in his heart, dedicates his success to Christ, and of course, who the media hates, which makes me love him even more. So, get on over to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Use the Bards code B-A-R-D-S. That's just like it sounds, just like Bards FM without the FM. It's kind of a, I know that that's kind of amazing, isn't it? A little clue there. And you can also call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, if you want to talk to a real person. All that information is below all the podcasts. You just like look right down below the podcast. You're like, hey, look, Bards gave us all we need right here. And that's right, they did. And there's even a hyperlink you can click right there, I think. So, oh no, I didn't put the hyperlink in. Yes, I did. The hyperlink's right there. What do you know? Just click that and boom, you're right on MyPillow and you can go to work. So MyPillow.com or 800-975-2939, promo code B-A-R-D-S. Let's get on to it and let's do some great things. All right, so the fact of the matter is that as the evidence continues to mount in this day, we are in a place and time where we are, there is no question we are facing something cataclysmic. And pretty much more and more people know the truth and they don't want to say the truth. This is a problem I have. I've said this, I'm going to say this till my dying days. Every single person in this nation and in this world that has a position of influence that is not speaking out on the vaccine, which is actually a bioweapon, that is not speaking out against the injection or at least warning people to be cautious with what we know right now and what most people knew before we went into this, is complicit in a crime until they can be explain themselves. It's ridiculous. When you have people, when you start to find out that there's senior leaders who have, and senior influencers whose families have been protected by ivermectin and they chose not to take the injection but have remained silent, or who have taken HCQ and remained silent, that's treason to the people. And it's worse than treason in another level, because it's an absolute, I'm going to use the word this way, treason to God. This isn't about power, and this is not about having access to special knowledge to keep yourself alive. And it's not about being afraid of what the cabal is going to do to you. This is about truth. And truth is something that every single one of us has to walk on that line of truth. We have to be truthful. When we commit to ourselves to Christ, and not to a church, not to a pastor, not to a priest. Look, there are great pastors in this nation. We're going to hear a lot of them at Bart's Fest. So don't ever misconstrue what I'm going to say. I spent an hour on the phone with a pastor friend of mine, Travis Graham, last night. He's going to be speaking at Bar's Fest. We have great conversations. These are great men of God. But they'll all tell you the same thing. The relationship is with us to Christ, not us to them, not us to their church. And it's that principle that when we put ourselves in our relationship to Christ, we have an obligation through Christ to the Father to speak truth, live truth, and be truthful in our lives. It's not an option. It's not like, well, let me see, can I get the car without air conditioning, or maybe not get the upgraded stereo? That's not one of those things. This is a real issue here. And it is going to become increasingly important that everybody speak truth. And I'm not talking truth either, like hidden away in your cupboard somewhere. You just imagine, like every morning, like opening up the cupboard and saying, honey, what do you want for breakfast? Can we not have truth today? Oh, sure, no problem. Let me put that box to the left, and instead I'll take the Cheerios with the extra sugar, and oh, look at this. They've even got chocolate chips in them. Is that okay? Is it true? No, but it was good to tell you because you said didn't want truth. Okay, I'll take that box. I mean, that's literally the way half of this world acts right now. And it's insane. Truth is not, it's not an option. So there is that problem. And it's kind of a little one. You go around and everything, you know, the only thing right now that is true, and this is a blanket statement because it's universal, there is one absolute universal truth that we can all accept. That the only truth in this is the deception. The deception is truth. The reality is something else. So, truth is through God. It's not, if you listen to the left, truth is like, that's the other part. This is where it gets a little complicated. Because somewhere along the way, the left decided to deconstruct the language. It started with a guy by the name of Derrida. He's a French writer, started in the 1960s. He published three books. And he published them in sequence. 1, 2, 3 volumes. He did them about every 6 months, he published one. And he set the entire academia on its head. As the Marxists started to seize control of our education system, destroying language is a principal part of their goal, and Derrida was one of their principal agents because he established that all words have plural meanings and all words are anchored in historical meanings that we must avoid. They become sexist, they become racist, they become biased. You've heard all this nonsense. It's in your mainstream language now. It wasn't in the 1960s. It is now. Somewhere in the late 80s, They took this to the idea of what's called postmodernism. Postmodernism was this idea that stream of consciousness was a more real truth. And then we went to postmodernism. And this is where truth is a plurality of anything that we perceive. We had authors like Hayden White, who wrote historical perspectives that all history is fiction because the fact, this is the best one, because of the fact that a human being wrote it and they took their perceptions of history from their eyes, there was no more truth. It was just a fictional story. It was a perspective of truth. So, from Derrida to Hayden White, we have seen key influencers across this globe completely deconstruct a language so that they could argue that there was no such things, there was no such thing as truth. And so what does that do? That allows you to take something like the Bible and say, oh, well, heck, it's just a story, Jack. Don't worry about that. It's just another one of the damn books that came over the ages we still got to deal with. When we lose the perspective and respect for truth, we go into free fall. When you strip away God from the life, which they've done effectively, God is a gone. God is away in all institutions. You take away the principles of truth, that there can be a truth, and you put people in the clutches of control, their control. Here's their catch on truth, because truth within this movement, the postmodernism, post-postmodernism, this progressive left nonsense, is that truth sits within the words, the written words that we write, read, and type. Well, we know that's not true. We know that the words, I can guarantee you that whatever language God is speaking, it isn't limited by English, French, Spanish, Italian. God has a plurality of all languages and speaks in such a depth as we know that it's not limited to a few simple words. As a matter of fact, the beauty of the scripture is that as we read scripture, we begin in the Bible, we read the Bible ends up reading us. It is an unbelievable testimony to the power of words, but with the depths of truth that are woven within them, because God's language is built within that. But that's a concept that they want you not to look at. They want you to hang on a word. So they do their normal discourses like, well, this little event in the Bible didn't happen this exact way, therefore it is not true. This is how they play. And then they'll use some justification to say, well, we did this fact check and this fact check, and we all know where that goes. We have one of the most powerful underpinnings to our country has been the Bible. And it is a fundamental piece that as we move along, not only does it provide truths about who we are as people and our relationship with God, it provides wisdom for how we are, have been, and need to be. And therefore, it comes back to the simple place that we must continue to pursue truth through Christ to the Father, which means we are bound by a commitment to work through prayer and relationship in listening to God to guide us in this life. That's our greatest strength in this fight, Patriots. It truly is. Because it's the one place that we can begin this fight on our knees, truthfully on our knees. And we can be humbled before God, and we can put our faith in God, and we can put our trust in God. And if we are listening, we know that God will be there with us at all times. That's the other piece, is we have to be willing to listen. It just seems that we always come back to the same place, though. And this same place is a verse that everyone knows or should know. Probably one of the more famous lines in the scripture that has become known in the Bible. And it's in Mark 4:35 to 4:41. So then it reads this: on that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with a great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Peace be still. If our academic left was to acknowledge the truth in this statement right here, their entire world, their entire premise of existence would fall apart. They would have to accept that God's Son was here on earth. They would have to accept that a man with such amazing faith connected through God could literally speak words that even the wind and the sea would obey. That would mean, in the very definition of their existence, that everything that they were, the worship of their state, the control of language, the control of everything that they seek, was an untruth. It was a lie. Our greatest power in this world, as we walk in this fight, is to press forward with the truth and the faith in God. This fight begins on our knees. This fight every single day begins on our knees. And as we work this place, we find that the truth that God provides us through the faith and trust that we have in him is unsurmountable. One of the powerful things to remember is that Christ spoke in parables. And he spoke in parables for a reason. Because it was, when you study the psychology, and I should say the cognitive processes of parables, it's quite brilliant, actually. When people are locked away from truth, when they've closed off their minds to the acceptance of the narratives that are around them, you can't hit a hammer with a hammer. You have to shake the underpinnings of how people believe. In that passage, Mark 4:35 to 41, those in the boat witnessed what we would call a miracle. For Christ, it was a process of existence. It was his relationship with God. It was a demonstration of the power of faith to show them how powerful it is, what an amazing world it is when we are connected, truly, truly connected to God. And that's a whole discussion about, a whole nother discussion about quantum physics and the reality of the realities that we live and all that was shown in a moment of how powerful of beings we truly are. Even down to our quantum soul, all in a moment where he says, peace be still. But what happens when they don't have the witnessing of miracles? We have to provide mechanisms for people to begin to shake out of a matrix of lies in which they are so embedded in that their own existence is tied to it. A system whereby fear is so powerful that it literally places a spell over their ability to think clearly. And it controls them. To do that, we have to follow the process of the parable to awaken truth. And that is to pose questions for people to reflect on and be able to have to answer. We put examples and stories of indirection, meaning that the indirect approach is not to place the burden on them to accept their untruth. For example, to say, let me prove to you this so that you must accept this that you live by as a lie. That's too much. It's too much because people can't get to a place easily where they have to confront their own misjudgment or their own lies. So we use the principle of the parable as a communication where we can give examples like the three talents, and we can talk about the three talents for people to process and to think about. And as they think about that story is working in their subconscious. And little by little, the seeds of that story start to grow and it starts to shake their perspective. The amazing thing about unlocking people from a cult, which is what basically most people are in right now that have taken this injection, is you can't take them out of the cult immediately. If you do, you literally can cause severe trauma and brain damage. But by seeding, and that's the parable of the sower anyway, by seeding ideas and things for people to reflect on, the subconscious will start to right its own ship. And in so doing, we can walk that path, which is the powerful path that Christ walked, which was a path of revealing truth by speaking in parable and on occasion showing amazing miracles. But the demonstration of the power of God comes from the self-awakening. God's everywhere. All we have to do is accept it. But how do we get the person then, as we're saying, that is locked away from it to accept the truth? And again, we have to place those seeds within their thought to allow them, their minds, their subconscious, to provide the fertile soil for God's words and God's truths to work within them and to start to awaken them to what's before them. There is an awakening coming. It's unavoidable. And sadly, it's probably going to be very painful. I don't wish upon anybody the level of ill that we seem to be looking at now, but poor choices have placed people into this storm. And in the midst of this storm, there are going to be many that are coming to the few, screaming the words similar to, "Do you not care that we are perishing? We've cared all along. We've done nothing but scream from the top of the wall all that we can. And if you haven't, then you haven't done your job." As soldiers in this army, in the Lord's army, it has been our duty to be the watchers on the wall. For if with us to not scream from the top of the wall and not warn those of the threat that's coming, the blood would be on our hands. But in this army, in the Lord's army, it has been our duty to be public, to be open, to speak the truths to people whether they like them or not. And in this time when this belief in this salvation through an injection has become so strong, we also have to be wise to changing the tactics to meet the new threat. The tactics now, in my opinion, cannot be direct truths, but must be the truths that seed within the subconscious. That means study your parables. Understand how parables work. And we'll talk more about this in this coming week. But study parables. Appreciate the power of the parable to get deep within the subconscious, to allow that fertile soil of untruth, to allow the seeds of truth to take root and let God's words do amazing power within transformation. Because the storm is here. And we have to be that wise voice that is able, in the midst of chaos, to provide the calm to the many, to literally take that role of peace, be still, to calm the souls, and to bring them to their knees to pray to God. There's no question that there's big things coming, and many of them will be dark. There's no doubt that the winter was called a dark winter for a reason. And in the end, we'll all have to face the truths that we live by and the lies that were accepted. And it's at that point that we all must be accountable to God and the total truth of where we stood within that fight. Be the watcher on the wall. Speak truth. Understand the tools that were used by Christ himself. This fight is our fight. And we're in this world to occupy this land and to work with God to take it back. But as a remnant, we are the hope of humanity. Let that sink in. We are the hope of humanity. There's a big responsibility here, and that responsibility does not mean locking yourself away and avoiding conflict or interaction with others. It means that we must follow this path that God's put us upon, that we must be in the midst of the storm. And when we ourselves feel that the storm is all overwhelming, never forget these words, peace, be still. And as we seek the wisdom of God in this path, listen closely. Learn the art of the parable. And always keep this thought in your head. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Our faith cannot be in question now. That rock we stand on has to be, we have to be so anchored to that rock that nothing can knock us off. Our trust in God has to be pure. We've spent 5 years in this fight. And we're at a point now that if you're not in that position, seek those around you that can guide you. But all of this begins with prayer. All of this begins with that relationship with Christ in your heart, to be true and pure in that. To not anticipate what's coming because you don't know. To live clearly in the moment. To be clear in what you're doing. To trust in God implicitly, to be graced and be humbled by all that he's provided, and to know that where you are in this moment, in this time, is exactly where God needs you to be. And to remember that as we sit in the most violent part of the storm, our trust in him, our faith, will always bring about that outcome of peace be still. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in such a time as this, we know and we have awakened more deeply to our relationship with you. And we are humbled to be here. We are humbled for all the grace you've given us. And we are equally on our knees praying for the forgiveness of this nation and for the forgiveness of the many times that we've wandered away from this path. Lord, we pray for the strength in the heart to see clearly, to hear clearly, and to be not just the watchers on the wall, but to be those within the community that can provide peace to the many that are walking in darkness or worse, in fear. Lord, give us those tools, and we pray for the guidance to let us speak in the ways as Christ spoke, to seed the many truths of your word within the depths of the subconscious, to let that grow into the truths within their own souls, to bring about an awakening within them that can bring them to their knees and be accountable to you. Let us be those guides. Let us be those shepherds of the many. Let us walk with grace. Let us not be stirred to anger in the way that they react. For we must forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let us be the shepherds of this new world to lead the many back to you. And in so doing, live by the example that you would want us to live by to reset this world, to reset this nation under the true words of "In God We Trust," built on the rock of faith and trust in you. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. there's a lot ahead. So take some time. This weekend, spend some time being in nature a little bit. Appreciate the glory and beauty all that God brings and has created. Let us honor Him in all that we do. Let us start to embrace the true sense of what it is to be part of the remnant. Not just by name, but by function. By the relationship of what we do through God, through Christ, in every breath and every step. We have been remade when we accepted Christ into our heart. That does not mean to be weak. It means to be stronger than ever before. It does not mean to be passive. It means to be walking a line of truth with unbelievable conviction to what that means. It means wielding the greatest and most powerful weapon of all, the sword of the Spirit. It means at times tables need to be flipped. It means the strength of standing in front of those that speak untruths to challenge them to reveal the lies that they speak. It means wisdom, and that wisdom comes from God. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. Prayers is where this begins, on our knees. And through that we rise, knowing that in this stance that we take and we continue to push forward, our walk is a walk not of chaos. Our walk is a walk of perfection. For we walk with Christ with us in our heart and God behind us in every step. He is with us. He will never forsake us. And in the end, God will win. Have a blessed Friday. I'll see you at the next show. Storm Dispatch, until then or until the next time. God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head. What the